Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about the heart of a spiritual warrior. And we look to Joshua for some really good principles of strength and courage.
Yeah, I just love looking at the characters that God has singled out in the scriptures, yep. You know, whether they're men or women or even children. And as he brings them and weaves them into the story, each one of them brings something for my heart, mm-hmm. which is what it's really all about. You know, God's in the heart business. He's not in the religion business. He's in the heart business. Mm-hmm. I call this first passage big shoes to fill.
True.
Joshua is taking over from Moses because Moses has kicked the bucket. He's done. I mean, he's run his race. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people. Go to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I promised to Moses."
Yeah, boy, Joshua is such a great history lesson for us to use to understand the spiritual battle over our hearts and lives. You know, it's just waging around us and in us. And Joshua's an example of how, I think anyway, he's an example of how to fight this fight. It seems like it would have been intimidating, though, to be next in line after Moses.
Yeah,
to have seen what you saw God do through him. And then he was so humble. So to look at that and go, oh my goodness, what you saw on the outside and what you saw on the inside, it would just be huge.
Yeah,
huge shoes to fill.
Right. Looking back, remember Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that were willing to go into the land.
Right.
They're also the only two that survived the 40 years in the wilderness. And what's happening right here is those years in the wilderness are coming to an end. So Joshua has had many years, a number of decades to learn from God and
yeah.
experience some of the same things as he watched Moses, as he watched the people, as he fulfilled his own role.
Mm-hmm. It's also reassuring, I think, because God makes it so clear that he was appointed and that his fight was to take ground. And it, to me, that ground is equal to spiritual battles in our lives. God says he will give us success in those battles, but we have to show strength and courage. And in some of the verses later, he explains what we need to do to win those battles and to end up living in spacious places. I love that phrase. It's used a number of times regarding battles. It's used in 2 Samuel and Psalms. But it basically says, God rescued me and set me in spacious places. And I just think that's a great feeling for our hearts, to be free and to feel like we're living large on the inside, even if our surroundings don't show it.
And it's so key, you know, to having a warrior's heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of what God's expectation is for every believer. We're not only warriors,
mm-hmm.
but we have been called to be soldiers of the kingdom. And so from Joshua, we can see all of these different examples of what it means.
Yeah, his life is fun when you compare it to what should be going on in ours.
Now, I'm interested as we continue in the passage, and this is in Joshua 1, how strength and courage appear to go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
God continues, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail you
mm-hmm.
or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go."
Yeah. Obviously, we're supposed to put our heart and soul into it and not be half-hearted. When he repeats that over and over, this fight isn't for us to wimp out on, because our families need us to stick with it. Our friends around us in the world, it depends on us going into this fight.
Well, and your community needs it, but, you know, the world needs it. What would the world do without God's warriors
right.
in it? I mean, you hear stories about it all the time, you know, whether it's something happening in Syria,
mm-hmm.
in the African continent, something around the world. God raises up soldiers and warriors that
yeah.
step up just like Joshua did, and they experience the strength and courage that go hand in hand when when God is present.
Mm-hmm. And I think most of us can look at our lives and see something that for generations has been a weakness in our family, whether it's alcoholism or some kind of abuse, anger, depression. You know, the ground we take in those areas by fighting alongside God, you know, that will allow us and our families and the people around us to live in less of a quagmire. Because when God brings freedom to our hearts, it begins to affect the people around us.
Well, the warrior needs to have strength and courage. And these verses right here that continue as we're in Joshua 1 have been so helpful to me mm-hmm. in my spiritual journey as a warrior. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go.
This is the crux, isn't it?
It really is.
You know, our courage can't be contrived or summoned from some mysterious corner of our hearts. It comes from pondering God, what he says about himself and who he says he is, and then practicing what he's told us to do. So I just don't think we can sum it up from nothing. It has to be because we're paying attention to God. And when we know him and know where to draw strength and courage, he promises to prosper that.
Well, and that's
because it's his work.
Right. And it's also his word. And that's and it is not a book that is like any other human mm-hmm. book. It is filled with actual power itself. And you think about Joshua, what he was listening to and what he was hearing. I mean, he basically was being told Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy probably had just been compiled because that was Moses' last. Mm-hmm. So here he is. And when God says, this book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, well, basically what it shall be is it shall be in your heart. And the word of God shall be in your heart. And that's where your courage and that's where your strength is going to come from. Well, look at us. I mean, we have the law,
but we have also a lot more.
We have the prophets, we have the kings,
and we have Joshua's life.
Yes, and Joshua's life, and we have the Psalms, and then we have the beautiful story of the Gospels, as well as the response to the Gospels and the letters. And you put all that together, and I mean, what a chance for us to be strong and courageous, and what resources we've been given to experience the power of God in our lives. That's pretty cool. As we continue in the book of Joshua, this is loaded. You want just sometime you just want to spend hours in Joshua chapter 1 and then all the way through chapter 5. Now, that's where I'm zooming up to here is chapter 5, because this isn't what I call the encounter passage, and true strength comes from the who more than the what.
Right.
This is a principle that you'll see in this passage, but you see it all the way through the scriptures. Now, it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes. Now, this is right before they were going to go take Jericho. So they're just coming into the land. They are not experienced warriors at all. You know, they've been wandering around in the wilderness, not as an army.
Okay, yep.
Now it's time to go
to
war.
Those are details I forget sometimes.
He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. I mean, this just gives me shivers, even thinking about it, the experience that is being explained here that people in the Bible had and that I've experienced myself. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And this man said, "No, I'm not for you, and I'm not for your adversaries. No, rather, I come now as the captain of the host of the Lord." So, you know, I'm not in anybody's camp. I'm in God's camp. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself is just a huge principle. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he bowed down, and he said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And that's how Joshua was prepared for battle, because he was experiencing what Moses had experienced with the burning bush. Now Joshua was experiencing it as well. And that's what was going to qualify him to be a true heart soldier.
Mm-hmm. That's just an incredible piece of the story of what Joshua, seeing everything with Moses, recognizing that it was time to take the land, but God, I don't know if he was reminding him. I can't imagine he's showing him for the first time, but just appearing to him and assuring him, reminding him, bringing God to him and saying, I'm the leader here, not you.
Well, you've heard me talk a lot about the scriptures being woven together. Mm-hmm. And I want to finish today with a passage from Hebrews chapter 4, because the writer to the Hebrews is looking back specifically at what we just read and then everything that unfolded in Joshua. It's out of Hebrews chapter 4. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest, or God's rest, has himself also rested from his work. So basically, he's describing a God warrior rather than a human warrior, just as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Get this. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Now, this is looking back to what he told him about this book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's the power of the sword of the spirit. The word of God for his people is that it can pierce us right down to the core of who we are and make us able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And I don't know, that's pretty helpful if you're going to be a warrior. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare. And that word there basically means to fillet. It means to just kind of cut it and lay open.
Well, especially when the active and sharper than any two-edged sword is kind of like a surgeon's scalpel.
Yeah.
That he can just get right in there and...
All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
I do have a question about the Sabbath rest. Because, and I know we have to hurry, but I always need help with this concept, partially because people use the word Sabbath to mean Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And then, which it's not, it's still Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I guess in simple terms, I need to understand about this rest. Is it a physical rest or a soul rest? Or do you get soul rest, you know, does soul rest give you physical rest?
Yeah, that's a great question. How I would term it, in this passage and in this example, is that it is heart rest. It is truly heart rest. It's where a person recognizes who God is. He recognizes God's authority. He or she takes their shoes off because they're standing on holy ground, and their heart is able to become something in their new heart that their old heart could never become. So the rest ends up being resting from your works. Joshua, yes, he was a general. Yes, he had things that he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was God that was going before him. And when God is going before us, and when his angel is before us and he's concerned about the will of God, well, then we're resting in the will of God.
So we're still fighting, but kind of in some ways the fight is done because God is doing it. We take strength and courage in the fact that God is doing the fighting.
And you have just defined what true victory is, according to the scriptures. Hey, Fourstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Fourthstream.com and click on that radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at Fourthstream.com.